This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Not good. That's the best way to describe this morning's report from the government on the U.S. economy. And economists say it's only going to get worse. The gross domestic product, the best way of measuring U.S. economy's contraction or expansion, well, it's showing a contraction of 4.8% in the year's first quarter. And since most of that decline came in the final weeks of March, as the virus pandemic was just forcing businesses to close, the experts say it could end up dropping up to 30% in the year's second quarter. This first quarter reading is already the biggest decline in GDP in a decade. President Trump says the worst of the pandemic in the United States is in the rearview mirror, saying at yesterday's briefing, small businesses and workers should be in good shape soon because of the stimulus package. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
A veteran actor from India who was known for making the leap from Bollywood to Hollywood has passed away.
This is an appearance nightmare.
Is that good?
Saraf Khan in Jurassic World. He had a long acting resume, but Americans would most know him for roles in Slumdog Millionaire and Life of Pi. He's died at 54 at a hospital in Mumbai, India. He had announced in 2018 he had been diagnosed with a tumor on his kidney. Parts of the western United States are going to see near record highs again today, a sweltering heat wave continuing. Forecasters predicting unseasonably warm weather from southern Oregon to west Texas. Temperatures are expected to be 15 to 25 degrees above normal for this time of year, challenging daily record highs. Find us online anytime or at usaradio.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
A NASCAR team owner wants to give back in the face of this pandemic, and here's more on the story from USA Radio's Tim Berg.
NASCAR team owner Richard Childress is auctioning off more than 50 years' worth of racing items to help coronavirus relief efforts, even parting with his number 3 Dale Earnhardt Jr. race car. Childress joins Fox News and explains why he's auctioning off all his NASCAR collectibles.
Was watching Fox and Friends a few weeks ago and seeing all the suffering in America, seeing people lined up to get food, and that should not be happening. I said, what can we do, what can I do in RCR to help make a difference in these people's lives? So I've put up like over 1,000 of our memorabilia pieces, and we auction them off on eBay, the eBay store. And I said, well, that's not enough. So I decided to auction off one of my prized pieces of Dale Earnhardt, the cars that I have. I have 44 of them, the original cars he drove. This car won Rockingham, and we're going to auction it off on Barrett Jackson online starting May the 8th. So we're trying our best to do our part to help out in this terrible, terrible thing this monster's put on us.
And forecasters say parts of Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas could see severe weather today as a damaging squall line is headed that way. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Live.
Now we got to open the doors first if we're going to get them on track. I mean, this quarantine thing, I think we've just about exercised as much as we possibly can. You know, as we said a couple of weeks ago, it's interesting to note the draconian measures that have been taking place, particularly in these blue states with some of these governors. And what I think is going to be very near in the future here is we're going to start seeing a migration out of these blue states because the people are becoming increasingly uncomfortable and seeing with their eyes wide open now what these governors, particularly the Democrats, are promoting. You know, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I said, imagine if the Democrats had full control of the White House, the Senate, and the House. What do you think the relief would be looking like? What do you think the actions? I mean, we'd probably, if we weren't in full-blown martial law, we would be near that. And you would probably see, Beto O'Rourke as the gun czar going around knocking door to door, coming after your gun. John Lott joins us now, and I'm sure John has some insight on this as well. Of course, John is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Comes on here regularly to talk about issues of gun control and the antics that the extreme left continue and to be relentless in accomplishing their objective, John Lott.
Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Good to talk to you.
Always. So what do you say, John, about, of course, I'm surprised that we're not hearing more from the left in terms of taking advantage of this pandemic. I mean, the president had said, we're going to see an increase in crime. There's going to be a suicide increase, all this as a result of this. So we want to be careful that the cure is not worse than the disease. When he said that, I said, man, I'm telling you, that's a bit of a dog whistle to the left and all these activists, especially with gun control. I'm surprised that they didn't come full blown on that, but I guess there were too many other options for the mainstream media to glob onto that they kind of overlooked this opportunity.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the president's statements about the fact that you have real costs, not only in terms of dollars, but in terms of people's health, from having the type of shutdown. I don't know. It seemed kind of obvious to me. And issues of suicides, surely if companies go bankrupt, if people's lives are upended here, just issues of isolation and other things, you would think that it would be pretty obvious that you would have higher suicide rates that would result from that. Surely there's a lot of literature that indicates that as people's economic well-being goes down, you're going to have more suicides that are going to be occurring.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think one of the problems with public health people is that they don't understand the issue of trade-offs very much. And I think that's what the point that the president was trying to make. Also, just in terms of income, I mean, how much of a drop in income are you willing to withstand in order to save a life? You know, is it worth, it's bad to be crass in some sense, but on the other hand, and the president surely didn't state these in these terms, but I would say, if we're going to be losing, $2 trillion, $3 trillion, would we do that to save one life? Would we do that to save two lives? Would we do that to save, I don't know how many lives, but
exactly.
There has to be some point that, let's say if we're not talking about lives saved, we're just talking about reducing the number of people who get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Would we be willing to reduce the GDP by $2 trillion to keep one person from getting sick? Probably not.
Right.
And it just I think that's been a real problem with the public health people, and they say, look, we need to shut down the economy if we can save a life. And it's just it's not that simple, because as the president noted and as you just noted, you can lose more lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't focus on the one thing that's there. So,
John, it's quite telling, though. Our society, to your point here, we've gotten soft. I mean, we really, psychologically, as a culture, we're set up for this kind of stuff, to make these illogical decisions like this, because at the end of the day, we can get an objective post-analysis of what happened here. And there's so many elements to this, whether, in China and all that other implication. But the net impact, like you're breaking it down here, we've got to be able to, look at the risk-reward benefit of the decisions that were made. I mean, we have 7 states that said, we're not going to quarantine people. I mean, for the governor of South Dakota, Governor Noem, they had a parade for her today, thanking her for her leadership because she refused. And it wasn't a refuse. She just looked at it logically and said, it doesn't make sense. We're kind of an open air. We're not dealing with density like New York City. And decisions were made for the country based on these heavily dense areas like New York City. And here we are, we're all being held hostage. And those decisions have consequences. And people are barely beginning to understand, as you pointed out, is that with each level of unemployment that we hit, it exacerbates the mortality that has nothing to do with the disease. It's a consequence of what we choose to do about that disease, not the disease in and of itself.
Right. So you have kind of at one extreme, you have the way the governor for South Dakota dealt with it. The other extreme, you have states like Michigan or, some others which have a range of rules, which mm-hmm. a lot of them are kind of inconsistent with each other. How can you have it so that people can't go and buy seeds?
Yes.
Or go and play singles tennis or go and, go fishing. Just what's the harm for somebody going out fishing? Are they going to be next to somebody else? Maybe not. Maybe they're more than 6 feet away from somebody else, and somebody's planting seeds in their yard.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right, exactly. Or a father playing catch with their child.
We're going to arrest a father, you know, a mother taking their child to a park. There wasn't a lot of people there. I mean, you can see there was natural social distancing taking place. And you arrest the mother because she takes the child to enjoy a bit of the playground. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is, these are these draconian measures that we're talking about. We're because of our very soft nature. And I think we need to evaluate that as a people and come away and say, look, we're better than this and we're stronger than this. We've got more from John Lott after the break. Stay with us.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
This is a pandemic survival alert, and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing. Mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who is honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're continuing our conversation with John Lott, the president of Crime Prevention Research Center. John, I think it's going to be really significant that there is an earnest search for truth. and understanding after everything is all said and done, because the scientists have been full-blown into this deal. The globalists have been full-blown. The WHO, you know, even Bill Gates, I mean, go on and on, that seem to be very prejudiced. And I am cautious to think, because all things being bureaucracy and all things being government, especially when you have so many trillions of dollars and individual interests involved, will we really get to understand what happened with the coronavirus and how we can better protect ourselves? Because chances are likely, whether it's COVID-19 coming back as a seasonal deal accompanied with the flu or some form or fashion of it, chances are it's likely to come back in the next season, right?
Right. Well, one of the points to make, first of all, is that I do believe that this is a seasonal virus.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 5 weeks ago, we had looked at data from around the world because people were saying, well, we don't know. We're not going to know till the summer whether or not this is going to be a seasonal virus or not. Like flus almost always are, and more than half of the coronaviruses are clearly seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
And but they said, well, we have to wait till the summer. Well, in some sense, we didn't have to wait because even though it wasn't summer here, obviously, in the United States.
Other countries were having summer. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. There are other places in the world, particularly the Southern Hemisphere. And you can go and look to see what have been the infection rates, what have been the death rates in those countries. And in fact, I think we found fairly strong evidence, in fact, that it is seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's going to be a drop-off. And then in the fall, likely things will ramp up again, just like they do with, you know, the flu every year.
Exactly.
You know, I hope we don't lock things down again at that point. You know, that, you know, there's, you know, new news today about a drug that seems to have proven fairly effective in helping people. And, you know, at some point there'll be a vaccine for those people, particularly who are most vulnerable. But I think, you know, I hope by the time we get around to the fall, as you say, there'll be time for introspection a little bit of evaluation about what's the best way to do it, comparing some of the states that have had lockdowns with those that didn't, or even just looking across countries, looking at a country like Sweden,
exactly,
which didn't have a lockdown. But obviously, you know, you look at the mortality rate there, and it puts it pretty much right in the middle of Western European countries without having to have the type of economic calamity that a lot of Western European countries and the United States have had to endure.
Right. Well, the other thing I would caution people to take in stride here is the hyperbole of first reports. The first reports that had come out, the models, they were extreme. I mean, talking hundreds of thousands of deaths. I mean, we imagined that there were going to be body bags lying side by side on Fifth Avenue in New York City. That didn't happen. Governor Cuomo jumping up and down, we don't have enough ventilators and all these people are going to die. Who's going to be the one to decide who gets a ventilator and who doesn't? That didn't happen. Hospitals were going to be overwhelmed. In some specific and unique cases, that was the case, but all around generally not. And so you have the law of first notice that is in play here, and people were reacting to what they heard first. And this is where the mainstream media did a disservice to the American people. Instead of you know, really being prudent about reporting what was going on, they went for the headline. And they scared the holy what have you out of people, John. And as a result, the people were willing to go along and surrender their First Amendment, their Second Amendment rights in some cases, you know, their liberties, you know, that are established by our Constitution. I mean, we were just willing to let that go by the wayside in some of these states where you had these draconian movements by these blue state governors. I mean, again, there's some serious takeaways here that we need to really up our game on, and particularly in terms of our own corporate consciousness, to have, you know, a better handle on what we're willing to risk here. I mean, every day we leave the house, there's a risk we're going to get run over by some runaway avocado truck or something. You know, anything can happen. We know how to measure risk reward. We don't have to be that mamby-pamby to think that, you know, at the drop of something like this, and again, you know, we're going by the information that was misguided, the propaganda from the Chinese in joint venture with the World Health Organization and other acolytes, even within our own country, that, John, they duped us. And we've got to be smarter the next time around.
Right. So you're saying that people write headlines in order to attract attention more than,
I'm a marketing guy, so I kind of know that.
Yeah, no, I know. But, you know, here's the irony. You have the news media attacking, you know, companies for wanting to go and make money. And yet here at the same time, these guys, in order to try to get clicks on their website, will go and have, you know, really outrageous headlines many times. I mean, you have, who knows where to start on this. You know, the Washington Post headline last week about, you know, CDC director warned second wave of coronavirus is likely to be more devastating. Robert Redfield, the head of the CDC, hadn't said anything like that at all.
Or
these claims about Trump telling people to drink bleach or whatever.
Right.
I mean, you know, I assume most people are not going to watch this. But, you know, I'll just give you a simple example of how the media has misrepresented things to people. And that is, if you look at these graphs that keep on being put out that show the United States in one color relative to colors for other nations. The United States is like the one of the worst in terms of the dark color that they have there. The thing is, they're looking at this in terms of the number of deaths per country. Well, the United States is 330 million people. To go and compare the number of deaths in a country with 330 million people to, let's say, a country like Sweden that has 10 million,
yes,
or Italy, which has 40 million, or even Germany, which has 80 million. You know, we don't do this for anything else. You don't go and compare the number of murders in California with the number of murders in Rhode Island in order to go and say which one has a higher murder rate.
Mm-hmm.
We go and look at it per capita.
Exactly.
That's what everything else.
Yeah, but we abandoned that and made ourselves vulnerable to the old saying that it's not the facts that lie, it's the liars that cheat on the facts, right?
Brian, I'm sure there's lots of ways you can phrase it, but the point is that by setting up the graph in a misleading way, making it look like the United States is so much worse than these other countries, I think is part of what you're talking about in terms of scaring people.
Well, I'll tell you, being here in Florida, I told you, when I came from California, we would deal with earthquakes, and they were in and out in a couple of days. Here in Florida, hurricanes come, and it's like the Super Bowl. You get 10 days of hyperbole, and in 15-minute segments, the exaggeration and the hyperbole gets tuned up even more, kind of like what we've been enduring for the last, 6-8 weeks over this coronavirus, John Lott.
Right, or magnified many times over for the whole country.
Well, I appreciate your rationale and reason and reminding people that there is a pattern. There's a reasonable pattern to look at this and to discern what is going on. But we can't abandon critical thinking. We've got to embrace it once again. John Lott right here. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
At all-time lows, the question is, what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to those high mortgage payments and high interest rates on your credit cards.
Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of 5%. $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates ever. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068.
Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-278. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Not good. That's the best way to describe this morning's report from the government on the U.S. economy. And economists say it's only going to get worse. The gross domestic product, the best way of measuring the U.S. economy's contraction or expansion, well, it's showing a contraction of 4.8% in the year's first quarter. And since most of that decline came in the final weeks of March, as the virus pandemic was just forcing businesses to close, the experts say it could end up dropping up to 30% in the year's second quarter. This first quarter reading is already the biggest decline in GDP in a decade. President Trump says the worst of the pandemic in the United States is in the rearview mirror, saying at yesterday's briefing, small businesses and workers should be in good shape soon because of the stimulus package. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Getting America back on track. Yeah. Bill Martinez live.
We good to go? Hey, great to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. As we realize, the fight for our freedom continues. It's not an easy thing. Nobody said it was going to be free. There is a price to be paid. We've got Michael Heiser joining us in just a second. We're going to be talking about his new book, Demons, what the Bible really says about the powers of darkness. The truth about demons is far stranger, even more fascinating than what's commonly believed. And, I think one of the first questions most people ask, Michael Heiser, is are they real? Are demons real? Are they the red creatures with goatees holding pitchforks and sitting on people's shoulders while whispering bad things? You know, what exactly are these guys? I shouldn't say guys, they're spirits, right? Michael, are you there?
I'm there.
Okay.
I caught about a half of what you just said and made me chuckle.
Okay. Well, I think that people sometimes, we just don't understand the powers of darkness, for the most part. Some people understand at times. They may say, back when I was a kid growing up, it was the devil that made me do it. Remember with, Flip Wilson?
Yeah.
And
Wilson.
That was the common refrain. And I got to think right now in the current condition that America finds itself, or the world for that matter, the demonic is having fun because the world at large is rather fearful, are they not?
Yeah, and I think that becomes a tool. I think your trajectory is, on the mark there, for sure. We tend to want to look for external forces to explain things that are going on, and you know, the reality is, on the good side, you know, a lot of times we can't see the providential hand of God, but we know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still responsible, you know, to live wisely. And on the flip side, you know, we don't need to be looking for a demon under every rock, you know, for the things that go wrong in our lives. But we all, you know, we need to be cognizant of the fact that we can be influenced in such ways, but also, again, to just be wise, to live wisely.
Exactly. Well, and that's an excellent point, because I think that sometimes we want to stick our heads in the sand to such a degree that we're just being overrun and not even realizing it. You know, we've made a purposeful decision to be ignorant. Well, we do that at our own peril and our own torment. And, you know, then probably when we have that moment to meet with God, we're going to say, why didn't you tell me? He's going to say, what's all over my Bible? You know, the word that I left you. And, you know, the signs were there. How could you possibly ignore that demons are real? The stories are there. What do you think? They were just for, you know, just for amusement that I put them in my word?
Their window decorations.
Exactly. So, you know, let's get down to the brass tacks of the matter. I mean, with your book, Demons Here, I mean, you hit the topic head on. And, you know, this is a wake-up call, you know, for believers and non-believers alike to reassess, you know, what is their worldview considering demons? Are they, in fact, real or not?
Yeah, it's true. You know, it might be a little bit disturbing, you know, for your listenership, but there is brewing, not just online, but even in, you know, evangelical academic circles, sort of there's an undercurrent going on about really whether we can take this stuff seriously or not. Now, that's common in sort of mainline denominations. They've kind of been there and done that, dispensed with it all, you know, a long time ago. But that discussion is actually, again, brewing within the evangelical world, you know. And one of the things I do want to accomplish with the book, as you said, is to sort of raise that question and ask another obvious question, you know, on what basis do we think we have the justification to sit in judgment on what the Bible says about the unseen world?
Exactly.
You know, what's the basis for that? I mean, it's one thing to say, well, you know, here we have this statement in Scripture that, you know, doesn't really conform to the way we would say things or, you know, our scientific understanding of this or that, and they're using metaphorical language. I mean, I get all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do that too. You know, we talk about the sun rising, and of course it doesn't actually rise. You know, I mean, we understand these things, but that discussion is sort of being transferred over into the world that can't be judged, you know, by, you know, modern scientific methods, if you will, you know, the spiritual world. So where does our confidence come from that we're sort of allowed to question this and dismiss it and then still talk about biblical authority?
Right.
I mean, that's the elephant in the room.
Michael, my question is, when things like this come up, are we expanded, are we enlarged by the consideration, or are we reduced? And it would seem that when we want to ignore the what I believe is the obvious, then just like things political, we're being reduced to our lowest common denominator and made vulnerable. And it almost makes me consider whether or not the demonic is behind this reduction to the lowest common denominator, because they are spiritual forces. They have ways to, as the Bible talks about, to send off a fiery dart into the minds of humanity, and they get us thinking in the wrong direction and abandoning, and next thing you know, we find ourselves back in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say?
Yeah, well, you know, 1 Timothy 4:1 is pretty clear, you know, and it's not the only passage that links false teaching to, you know, demonic intelligences. I mean, there are several passages in the New Testament that do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to really sort of, you know, be blunt about it, all it's going to take is an atheist, you know, one of these militant atheists you run into on the Internet, paying attention to these sorts of discussions to figure out that, look, you know, here you have a bunch of people, you know, Christians, evangelical Christians, that on the one hand, they are quite willing to affirm, you know, against, you know, a materialistic or rationalistic worldview. They're willing to affirm things like God and Jesus and the Trinity and the Incarnation, the hypostatic union, you know, the two natures of Jesus, you know, all this theological stuff that, that Christians, you know, don't even blink at. Mm-hmm. But then the same group will look at some of the more sinister, you know, elements of, you know, powers of darkness that are taught in the same Bible and then question it or dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
And so an enterprising atheist is going to look at that and say, boy, this really makes my job easy, because all I have to do is point out the total inconsistency of this approach and then ask the question, well, why would I believe what you say about the work of Jesus on the cross and salvation and all these other concepts, while you affirm that, but then you reject this stuff on the other hand?
Exactly.
Why should I listen to you?
No, it's an excellent point. Yeah.
Right. It's not rocket science at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of, you know, Christians that are sort of put off. And maybe one of the reasons is that this has been so Hollywoodized. But a lot of Christians are put off by what the Bible, when you actually show them, you know, things that are actually taught in Scripture about the powers of darkness. Oh, it's too weird. I can't believe that. Like, how does that work scientifically? Well, you know, how does the incarnation work? You know, I'll answer that question when you answer, you know, the second one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very inconsistent approach. And I don't think that a lot of Christians realize how vulnerable their apologetic or their witness is, you know, because of that.
Well, and maybe in part, Michael, because most Christians are risk adverse, which is an interesting term that we're using quite a bit these days, is that they don't want to, you know, have their faith be challenged, so they're comfortable in echo chambers. I mean, how does that take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world if we're so afraid to defend the things that we believe in? And what happens as a result, because we're not practicing, we're not very proficient in the defense of the things that we say we believe in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. It's unfortunate, but I think you can lay some of this right there.
Yeah. Well, and as I told a group of men, I said the challenge that we have is to come shoulder to shoulder and back to back with one another and strengthen our game so that we can help each other. We've got more from Michael Heiser after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now, 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-536-4436. Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now, 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-536-4436.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, this is the place where we pursue the truth no matter where it leads, and we thank you for being a part of the solution and joining in. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, and our conversation continues with Dr. Michael Heiser. You know, the truth about demons is far stranger and even more fascinating than what's commonly believed. But I will say that God never intended for us to be ignorant and, you know, to be so doubtful about the reality of demons. I mean, I know people are asking, are they real? The fact that they're even asked that question is, I think, a bit embarrassing, and putting it nicely, because we should know better. And Dr. Heiser is a scholar in the fields of biblical studies in the ancient Near East, and we're talking about his new book, Demons, What the Bible Really Says About the Powers of Darkness. Michael, why did you feel like you had to write this book?
Well, you know, I really thought that it would be, this is going to sound a little goofy, but I really thought it would be nice to have a book that addresses this topic in its original ancient context, and then sort of shows how people in Israel, people living between the Testaments, and then people living in Jesus' day, how they would have thought about these things, as opposed to, you know, just sort of church tradition. You know, what we often get, and we don't get a whole lot when it comes to the powers of darkness, is either filtered to us through church tradition, we get a little smattering here and there, or we get it through media. Mm-hmm. You know, and we rarely get sort of a serious treatment that tries to contextualize these things in the ancient world, you know, the world of the biblical writer. There, frankly, there isn't anything like that, which was kind of shocking, you know, when I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, this needs to be done. So I decided to drill down, and I introduced some of the things in Unseen Realm, my earlier book, but right. I thought this really needs attention of its own, and so that's what led to the book.
When you were writing the book in your research, did you determine that there was a time in the spectrum of our humanity where we were more sensitive and aware of the spiritual world as compared to today?
Yeah, I think that the fact that we are moderns, you know, we are, whether we like to admit it or not, even as Christians, we are the product of a scientific worldview. We're the product of the Enlightenment, the age of reason. And You know, that might sound like I'm pitting what the Bible says about the spirit world against being reasonable or reason. And that's actually the fallacy, because everything that the Bible says about the powers of darkness, you know, the existence of the spirit world, and of course rebellion in that world is where we get the powers of darkness. Mm-hmm. All of that extends from the logical coherence of theism, the proposition that there is a God as opposed to there's not. And why belief in a God, the affirmation of a God, is a better explanation for everything that we know and experience as opposed to there not being one. Mm-hmm. And that's really firmly rooted in good reasoning, good logic, you know, the rules of good thinking. So even outside, you know, appealing to scripture, you know, the idea, again, if there is a God as opposed to there's not, well, that holds water, and that's been defended for millennia quite well and even articulated by people who aren't Christians. Well, can that God actually make beings like himself? You know, well, why not? Mm-hmm. And if he makes beings like himself, is it possible that they could have, you know, freedom like he does? I mean, that's one of the attributes of God. And if they have freedom, could they go astray? I mean, all of these are propositions that extend from the fundamental idea of there is a God.
Yes.
And so it's not unreasonable at all. But we are the product. We've sort of had belief in this world kind of beaten out of us by our modern, you know, context. And I would dare say even church, because, you know, churches typically don't want to talk about the powers of darkness, even though they're in scripture, either because, well, that isn't an intellectually respectable discussion. You know, don't get into that with someone who's not a believer because they'll think you're a little nutty.
Exactly.
So you either get it from that, or there's a fear, really, I would say an unwarranted fear, of being influenced by darkness just by discussing what even Scripture says about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because if we're more readily, maybe because by condition and tradition and that, to accept that there is a God, why is it that we're so reticent to believe the opposing force?
Yeah, we don't want to sound weird.
So it's woo woo. It's woo woo, and we're
right.
Yeah, and we're in twilight zone when we talk about things like this. But yet we can, you know, we can see the signs, and we can see the evidence of right.
Why don't we feel weird when we talk about God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because again, these things are related. They come from the same source book. If we're talking, you know, studying this in a Christian context. You know, and why is the Bible to be trusted? Why is it not weird to talk about, again, like Jesus, the incarnation, mm-hmm. you know, God? And then you flip the page, and it's you know, the sons of God, you know, Genesis right. 6, it's Deuteronomy 32, it's Satan. And, you know, why is it that we flip the page? You know, I don't know about that.
Right.
Why is that? Well, I think there's a conditioning that goes into it, and really a failure, I think, to, you know, I hate to put it this way, either a failure to think well, that these things do extend from the reality of God, mm-hmm. or we're sort of lacking in our commitment to biblical authority, you know, on these points. We don't need to fear this intellectually or spiritually. You know, there's a line we can cross, you know, when it comes to the spiritual component. You know, I talk about this in the book. I often get asked, can Christians be, you know, possessed and things right. like that? Well, you know, solicitation of the other side is a thing consistently warned against in Scripture. And you have to ask yourself, well, why would there be, you know, commands against necromancy, you know, contacting the dead, if it didn't work, if there wasn't such a place?
Right.
It sort of reduces the commands to absurdity. But yet, here we are. You could be in a discussion with other believers now. That's just nutty. That's just crazy talk. That's just Hollywood. Well,
yeah.
Actually, it's not.
Right. Exactly.
In the same source book.
Well, part of what you say, I mean, I agree with, and I think the other part, and you touched on this in the last segment, is that our own arrogance, you know, we want to see things like the book of Judges according to our own eyes. You know, we have our own ideas, and as some have said, God laughs, because we limit And, you know, the facts are there. And as you say, we turn the page and we discount it. We just go, well, you know, I don't understand it. So if I don't understand it, I'm just going to set it aside. Well, you know, the demonic loves that because now you've just decided to set down the weapons of your warfare. And now you're easy pickings and you've left yourself vulnerable. Like in any kind of military or war action, you need to first identify, you know, who the enemy is. And if the enemy is convinced us that he doesn't exist, then it's all the more easier. And we see this even in the real world. We have people, you know, that look at America and say, we want you dead and gone. And we go, oh, okay, well, that's fine. Let's have coffee and let's, you know, why don't you come here and move into our neighborhoods and, you know, can I help you out with anything? But I still want you dead. Well, that's okay. It's all right, you know. We're idiots, you know. We just do this. This is like, you know, such human folly. And so we're doing it in the physical world, and we're doing it. And the reason we can do it so easily in the physical because we've already done it in the spiritual, right?
Yeah, you know, we tend to assume that the path. First of all, why is it that we crave this pseudo intellectual respectability? Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't be craving it to begin with. We should be challenging the propositions to the contrary. You know, we shouldn't be afraid to have a worldview that includes, again, the unseen world, the spirit world, with these things, both good and evil. Because, frankly, it's just more coherent, and it has been demonstrated to be more coherent. But I think a lot of Christians feel unable, you know, to have such discussions, and they do like to avoid, you know, the conflict, mm-hmm. you know, the sort of being, you know, looked down upon it and right. whatnot. But, you know, we could talk about how that could be addressed, you know, maybe better apologetics teaching, you know, through church, and or just a, you know, more of an openness to really ask difficult questions and take people through them. Mm-hmm. I think that's all really useful. But
yeah, but we are the church, though, Michael, and this is where self-responsibility needs to step up here,
absolutely.
Right?
At the end of the day, our inadequacies, or whether they're real or just perceived, do not excuse us from A, you know, proclaiming truth, and B, trying to fix the problem. You know, avoidance is not a legitimate strategy, not only for life, but for the affirmation of truth in Scripture. You know, it's just not legitimate.
Well, it's time to up our game. I mean, and the thing is that not only for ourselves, but those that we come in contact. If we're going to take the gospel to the ends of the world, and we are carriers of the gospel message, then we have to be ready in full force, that we leave ourselves vulnerable and ill-equipped if we only, you know, pick and choose, like as if the Word of God is some sort of, you know, smorgasbord that's designed for us and for our liking only.
And the irony is that more people today want a spiritual message than want atheism.
That's Boy, isn't that true? Look what's happening online listenership right now as a result of this pandemic that we've been experiencing, Michael. I mean, I'm hearing from pastors all across the country that their online listenership has gone up 10, 20, 15-fold. I mean, it's been amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
To your point. Well, he is a scholar in the fields of biblical studies in the ancient Near East. Dr. Michael Heiser recently served as a scholar in residence at Faith Life Corporation, the makers of Logos Bible Software. Michael, thank you. It's been great to visit with you, and congratulations on the book, Demons.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic,
product, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
With more people